This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 31st of October 2025. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper, with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending 31st of October. Your readers today are Nikki Baring.
Hello.
Norma York.
Hello.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Hello.
And I am your presenter, John French. Please note that there will not be a magazine recording sent for the start of November due to a shortage of editors to prepare the material. The next magazine recording will be a Christmas edition and will be sent out during December. The weekly recordings of the Hampshire Chronicle will continue to be recorded and posted to you. The main headlines this week are Last Call, Defend Your Right to Know, New Treatment Centre Plan, and New Charity for Cancer Sufferers. So may we now have the story behind the first headline, please, Nikki.
Which was Defend Your Right to Know. It's rather interestingly printed, this article, because it's on a black background with white writing and parts of it highlighted in red, so they obviously feel strongly about it. So, communities would no longer be consulted about plans for a new bar or nightclub in the local area if misguided government plans for secret alcohol licensing notices get the green light. Alcohol licensing notices are a type of public notice which are used to make local communities aware of plans to sell alcohol in the local area. This could be plans for a new pub or bar, or for a venue to vary the terms of its existing licence, for example, by extending or changing its hours. Currently, alcohol licensing notices must be advertised in local newspapers. This legal requirement ensures that communities are consistently consulted about any proposals to sell alcohol in the area. Often the notices are also placed on local newspaper websites, ensuring even greater reach and engagement. As a sector, local news media has huge audiences, some 42 million people a month in print and digital. And because the notices flow consistently through local papers, local journalists often use them as leads for stories, seeking reaction to the proposals and comment from local residents. As part of its commitment to public notices, the sector went a step further with the launch of the Public Notice Portal, a digital one-stop shop for all the public notices published in local papers, built with funding and expertise from the Google News Initiative. All this ensures that residents are made aware of plans to sell alcohol in the local community in advance and can have their say. This is what a healthy local democracy looks like. However, Prime Minister Keir Starmer and Business Secretary Peter Kyle's plans to axe alcohol licensing notices in England and Wales are placing your right to know at risk. As part of measures aimed at helping the hospitality sector, which is still recovering from the effects of the pandemic, ministers are proposing to remove the statutory requirement to publish alcohol licensing notices in local papers. If taken forward, this would mean that the notices may not see the light of day. A nightclub could open next door and you would be none the wiser until it was too late. This is not a means to reduce red tape. A failure to consult properly could instead substantially increase bureaucracy and the risks of costly litigation. In fact, many license holders have expressed their concern at plans. Instead, it is an attack on local democracy which must be resisted at all costs.
Urgent Treatment Centre Plans. Plans for a major expansion to transform emergency care at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital has been submitted to Winchester City Council. Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust has applied for permission to build a two-storey extension to the RHCH in Romsey Road, Winchester, writes Chris Atkinson. The new Urgent Treatment Centre, UTC, will help take the pressure off the adjacent A&E department dealing with non-life-threatening cases. It would help the Trust meet its targets for dealing with patients within 4 hours. The planning statement from the Studio for Architects say the NHS 2025-26 Urgent Emergency Care, UEC, plan includes a significant revenue and capital investment aimed at transforming UTCs and broader emergency care services across England. A total investment of nearly £450 million has been allocated to support the UEC and are funded to treat and discharge patients on the same day, reducing unnecessary hospital admissions and ambulance handover times. These form part of the national constitutional standards set out by DHSC. The location plan shows that the proposed expansion would be built off Romsey Road between Estates Workshop and connect to the Nightingale Building. The cost of the RHCH scheme is currently unavailable. In the long term, the proposed development of a new hospital near Basingstoke will still see the A&E unit at RHCH downgraded. It is highly controversial and has sparked a strong opposition. Objectors say that lives could be lost because of increased times of taking people to the proposed new hospital just off the M3 near Junction 7. Health managers say that the hospital would be much better equipped with specialist staff other than at the smaller RHCH.
And our third headline this week is entitled New Charity for Cancer Sufferers. A campaign for a new sanctuary for people affected by cancer in Winchester has been launched. The Winchester Cancer Sanctuary, WCS, officially launched on Thursday, October the 16th, with an event at the Hospital of St. Cross. Many important figures attended, including the Deputy Lieutenant of Hampshire, the Mayor of Winchester, the High Sheriff, and the Bishop of Winchester, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Winchester, the Chief Nurse at Hampshire Hospitals Foundation Trust, and well-known TV journalists Alistair Bruce and Sally Taylor were also present, along with local business people. Tim Mitchell, President of the Royal College of Surgeons and patron of the WCS, welcomed guests and thanked the trustees for setting up the charity. Founder Nikki Lynn Savier shared her personal cancer journey, explaining why such a facility is necessary in Winchester. She introduced a short film featuring local cancer survivors sharing their stories. People can access this film on the charity's social media channels. Former MP Steve Brine, chair of the trustees, spoke about his time as cancer minister and stressed the importance of comprehensive support services from the NHS and voluntary sector for those undertaking treatment. He also talked about the need for a good quality of life after cancer and highlighted the fundraising mission, which requires £500,000 to fully establish the charity in the city in a home of its own. Mr. Brine said the launch event was all about selling the concept to Winchester, and we feel it landed really well. Everyone can see the need in the city for this charity, and we received a number of offers on the night to help and to discuss supporting us towards the fundraising target. We're just at the start of this journey, but the event at St. Cross was perfect launchpad to what we hope will create something very special for the benefit of local families. The event was supported by Video Frog, Cup and Saucer, Hattingley Valley Wines, Twilight Trees, and designed every production and the Hospital of St. Cross. The WCS encourages people to learn more about the charity and contribute by signing up to help or donate at winchestercancersanctuary.org. The creation of the WCS aims to provide a place of refuge, support, and guidance for those affected by any type of cancer, And to find out more, go to WinchesterCancerSanctuary.org. And this is accompanied by a photograph taken at the launch event, and with the founder, Nikki Lynn Xavier, in the front and surrounded by some of the key supporters.
That concludes the headlines. And now we continue with death notices, then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, Chronicle comment, First Person, and Bulgarum. And this will be followed by announcements and what's on. Death notices. Seeley, Eric John Seeley, passed away peacefully on the 11th of October 2025, aged 91 years. Wells, Audrey Gwendolyn Betty Wells, late of Alsford, sadly passed away on the 4th of October 2025, aged 89 years. Wyatt, Phyllis Wyatt, passed away on the 2nd of October 2025, aged 83. Batty, Colette André Martine Batty, died at home on the 8th of October 2025, aged 86. Coffin, Raymond John Nobby Coffin, late of King Somborne, passed away on the 14th of October 2025, aged 80 years. Hilary Peter Hilary passed away peacefully at home on the 17th of October 2025, aged 90. Knowles Margaret Ann Knowles passed away on the 1st of October 2025, aged 78 years. That completes the death notices. Now we continue with Christian comment.
And this week's Christian comment is entitled, You Might Be Needed, and it's written by Reverend Philip Crinks. In 1915, Jack Cornwall walked into a Navy recruiting office to volunteer. He was 15 years old. Sent to train at Devonport Barracks, he attended church regularly and was confirmed into the Church of England. As boy seaman, first class, he joined the crew of the light cruiser HMS Chester on Easter Monday, 1916, and that was on her maiden voyage. On May the 31st, HMS Chester was scouting off the coast of Denmark when distant gunfire was heard and the ship was put on action stations. The Battle of Jutland had begun. Boy Cornwall stood by his forward gun as its sights were set. Suddenly, from out of the mist, four German cruisers appeared and concentrated their fire on the Chester. She was hit 17 times by large caliber shells. Within minutes, all the men on Jack's gun were killed or mortally wounded. Jack himself was severely wounded, but he remained steady at his highly exposed post. He was found there after the action by the first aid party, still waiting for orders. After the battle, small boats took off the wounded, including Cornwall, but he died in hospital of his wounds on June the 2nd, aged 16. After the battle, the captain of the Chester was debriefed by the Admiralty. He described the interview he had with Cornwall before he died. When asked why he remained standing and waiting at his post, wounded, when all his comrades had been killed and under heavy fire, Cornwall just said, I thought I might be needed. As we reflect at this time of the year on the sacrifices made by those who have served in our armed services, one proper reaction is horror at the appalling cost of war. So we may fervently pray that wars may cease and nations live instead under God's gentle rule. Another reaction is to be inspired by their courage and spirit of sacrifice. Cornwall's words speak of a spirit of humility and other centeredness. He thought he might be needed by others, his comrades, by his captain, by his country, by his Lord. We can certainly pray that we will not find ourselves in such a time of trial, but still each of us will certainly be needed, as will every child of God. Our neighbours need us, our nations need us, our Lord needs us. To be other-centred, to be God-centred, to reflect a little of his holiness in the world. This week, our churches will hear Jesus teaching his disciples to be peacemakers, to be merciful, to hunger and to thirst for righteousness, to embrace his humility and poverty of spirit and meekness, to be prepared to mourn and even to be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. This is the sacrificial way of Christ. We can walk in it only by trusting, not in our own strength, but in something, in someone greater than ourselves. And if someone asks you why you have chosen to do so, you could do worse than answer like Cornwall, "I thought I might be needed."
Now we have letters to the editor.
And this from Joe Espiner, headed Crazy Crossing. We were happy when the work was completed on the new traffic measures on Worthy Road, Dyson Drive, Stoke Road in March. It meant the end of months of disruption for residents and the incredibly costly works, a staggering £1.4 million, installed a new pedestrian and cycle crossing, providing a seamless walking and cycling route from Kings Barton into the town centre. This will prove to be increasingly useful as the new housing development grows. However, as a daily frequenter of this crossing, as a cyclist, motorist and pedestrian, I've been horrified by how dangerous it is. Since it opened 6 months ago, I've witnessed at least 10 instances of cars speeding across the crossing while people are halfway across it, or cars having to slam on brakes or swerve as people cross. Considering I'm only there for a few minutes a day, the near misses I've seen have been hair-raising. The planners have plonked the crossing down a long, straight road that has no housing or amenities on it, and have added no additional traffic calming measures to reduce car speeds and increase visibility and reaction times. Normally, crossings are in built-up areas with 20-mile-an-hour limits. This one is 30 miles an hour, with cars often doing well above that as they journey to and from Winchester. The northbound side is particularly perilous, with trees obscuring the view and drivers unable to see if people are waiting to cross until both are practically already on the crossing. I raised my concerns with a council rep and was told nothing would be done. I implore the council, the community, the highways agency and anyone with any say in the matter to address it now. It is an accident waiting to happen and only a matter of time before someone is seriously hurt or even killed. And that from Joe Espiner, Chandler Road, Abbots Barton, Winchester.
Art at Sparsholt. Please get involved with the community art project for remembrance with Sparsholt Church of England Primary School. We'd like the whole Sparsholt community to take part in a special project to commemorate Remembrance Day. Our aim is to create a beautiful and poignant field of poppies on the Memorial Green next to St. Stephen's Church. This project combines remembrance with environmental awareness by using recycled materials. It is a wonderful way for our families to come together, get creative and contribute to a meaningful experience. Get creative at home and work with your family to transform recycled materials into beautiful poppies. Bring your poppies to the school or drop them off at the village shop from the week beginning Monday, November the 3rd. The full display will be assembled on Memorial Green on Friday, November the 7th. Please get involved in this project and set yourself the challenge of making a few poppies. And that was from Mrs. Gwillam, Acting Head Teacher, Sparsholt Church of England Primary School.
And our next letter is entitled Parking Wardens, which is always an emotional subject. May I add a further insight into the officious attitude of Hampshire County Council, HCC, to parking enforcement in Winchester, which was reported in the Chronicle over the last 2 weeks. Since HCC took over the control of parking from Winchester City Council, the aggressive nature of the parking policy has resulted in elderly and disabled parishioners trying to get to St. Lawrence's Church on Sunday morning being ticketed for illegal parking on at least 4 occasions, despite displaying their blue badge correctly. There are just not enough disabled spaces provided in the city centre, but any appeal to some remote office in Sheffield is fobbed off with a standard letter that does not even address the points made in mitigation. Recently, I was supervising some essential roofing repairs at St. Lawrence's Church in the square, and was frustrated to see that both the scaffolding lorry and our builder's van got booked for illegal parking. It takes several hours to unload scaffolding and can't be done within the normal 10-minute rule for other commercial deliveries. And the builders had to come and go on several occasions and normally parked elsewhere once they had offloaded. Common sense and tolerance are not part of the new parking enforcement policy. When the City Council controlled parking, there was a much more reasonable attitude. Although, some 30 years ago, a hearse attending a funeral at St. Lawrence's did get a ticket, which we thought at the time was an embarrassing mistake. If that happened again today, I fear it would be part of HCC's deliberate policy to book everyone in order to make as much money as possible. And that's from Chris Higgins, Edgar Villas, Winchester.
And this one headed, thank you for 15 years of support. As I mark the 15th anniversary of my busking career, I would like to thank all the kind people of Winchester and further afield for keeping me alive with their kind donations. During this time, I have been praised and vilified, sometimes in equal measure, for performing the same songs year after year. I have also been immortalised in a variety of ways. I've been painted into high street scenes by prominent local artists, sketched, been the subject of many university projects, and most recently, I've had my image depicted on both the outside and inside of the new St. Clement's Surgery. As a simple street performer, I could never have hoped to reach such heights. In the same respect, I would also like to thank the man who recently, upon seeing my album propped up on a big flower pot outside a popular Winchester restaurant, remarked, "Can you please not put your stuff on our property? I am one of the managers." We all need to be brought down to earth sometimes, however briefly. In closing, I would like to offer my best wishes and kindest regards to my myriad of acolytes, devotees, disciples and worshippers. Excruciatingly humbly yours, Marvin B. Naylor, Green Hill Road, Full Flood. And there's a great picture of him sitting, as we've all seen him, I think, on his stool with his electric guitar, looking kind of, yeah, aging rock star, I'd have to say.
Suicide issues. I'm writing to you about the amount of times our local emergency services has been called out to suicide and self-harm incidents. The government currently doesn't ensure our emergency service provide staff with any national standard of suicide prevention training. And yet Samaritans have found that last year, Hampshire and the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service were called out to 61 suicide-related incidents, and national data shows that an annual rise of 32,143 in ambulance service suicide, self-harm and call-outs across England from 2023 to 2024. These new figures from Samaritans show just how often our local emergency workers are in contact with those in suicidal crisis, and why training all emergency response workers in suicide prevention is urgent. Right now, our emergency responders and anyone who is in crisis from our community are being failed. These workers are often the first on the scene when someone is suicidal. so providing them with the skills and confidence that they need to identify and support anyone who is suicidal could save lives. I urge readers to email their MP and back Samaritan's call for mandatory suicide prevention training for our emergency responders to help reduce the lives lost to suicide in Hampshire. And that's from Emma Bailey of Southampton.
Our next letter is written by David Hogger and continues the theme of the headline that was read out by Nikki around alcohol licensing. And it's entitled No to QR Code. I read with interest editor Kimberly Barber's column about the planned removal of alcohol licensing notices from local newspapers. Kimberly argued well that some people will then be unaware of proposed changes to nearby pub, etc. opening hours. She quoted the House of Lords report that around 10.2 million adults are digitally excluded. So, spurred on and motivated, I reacted to the large advert 3 pages later, asking us to complete a, quote, defend your right to know survey. Except I couldn't. It requires one to scan a QR code. And I refuse to kowtow to pressure and buy a no-doubt child labour Chinese-made mobile phone. So much for helping the digitally excluded like me. And that's from David Hoggett, Northbrook Avenue, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
And this from Margaret Grant, headed bus station sign. Here we go again. Well, here's some different news for you, Winchester watchers. The driver's sign, which hung over the alleyway in the bus station, has been removed as building works are being attempted. But do not fret, as it's going to be renovated to as near as possible to its original appearance and hung inside the information area. It was a memorial for driver Ben. His colleagues feel he should still be remembered for his service and comradeship. So, good luck to them in their endeavour and renovation. Carry on the good works, drivers. I appreciate that it's not the workers who make up the new routes and the timetables and roadworks. That's my soapbox bit this week. Margaret Grant, Berriton Road, Hairstock.
Roads concern. I have lived in Oliver's Battery for just over 4 years, and I've seen two issues with roads of great concern to the community. One is the main junction with Badger Farm Road, the only real way in and out, and the second is the junction of Old Kennels Lane with Oliver's Battery Road South. Both of these have been subject to numerous meetings, plans, and proposals from Hampshire County Council. Yet nothing is done. Each is serious, but I don't believe has caused, or hopefully, I don't believe it has caused a fatality. Understandably, finances are tight, but isn't it reasonable to have a date for some action? Could I suggest 2035, or is that too soon? And that's from Tony Gaster, Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery, Winchester.
And now we have Chronicle comment,
which is headed Sanctuary Plan for Cancer Victims. It seems strange that a city with the prominence of Winchester should not already have something like the Winchester Cancer Sanctuary. We report on the launch of the new charity and its efforts to raise a six-figure sum to find premises and start its services. It is a charity that will provide free holistic care and support people affected by cancer in the Winchester area and surrounds. Its new website says it will be an informal, uplifting and relaxing environment. We need to raise an initial £350,000 to secure premises and start up services. Clearly, such a service is needed. Cancer affects most families, and the increasing efficacy of modern healthcare means there will be a growing number of people surviving the disease and needing support. Only this week, the BBC reported the trial of a new simple breath test that diagnoses pancreatic cancer, which currently kills 80% of patients within a month of diagnosis. In a few years' time, if the trial is successful and the test is rolled out across the NHS, there could be hundreds of people needing the sanctuary's care. In recent decades, Winchester has opened several vital services, stretching back to Naomi House Children's Hospice in the 1990s, and then latterly Jack's Place, both in Sutton Scotney, and the Winchester Hospice next to the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, which opened in 2021, providing specialist palliative and end-of-life care. Its opening followed a fundraising initiative that raised more than £4 million. Some may argue that such services should be provided from the public purse, but to be realistic, if charity was not there, then it is highly unlikely these services would be provided. So we wish Winchester Cancer Charity all the best in its efforts.
And now, first person.
And Joanna Lewis writes, Les Miserables, mais non. I hadn't been to the Gare du Nord station in Paris since my father dropped his trousers there many years ago. It was my fault. I had arrived at the station en route to the south of France for what would be our last family holiday, but after crossing the city, I realised I'd left my bag on the platform. We doubled back north by taxi. In a panicked rush to pay the driver, my dad was forced to access his heavily guarded money belt. In the standing position, he unzipped and took a deep dive into his light summer trousers. In the moment, they slipped right down to his ankles. It felt good to be back, as good as it felt not to have been arrested on that summer day. Now it was autumn. In the fading evening light, the station's magnificent wrought iron carapace was resplendent in an expensive-looking Farrow and Ball green. Its immaculate brick walls glowed buttery warm yellow. I was headed to a conference hosted by the French Foreign Minister. My Bijou Hotel on the Rue de Convention, excuse my French accent, did not disappoint. Alongside feelings of nervousness, being the world's most rubbish networker, I was curious to see if Paris I remembered, or we romanticised in films, still existed. Thankfully, mostly yes. The streets were still lined with splendid residential apartments, their grand facades, giant wooden double doors and flower boxes remained immaculate. Below were shops that sold just cheese, just meats, only pastries, or possibly feathers. Not a supermarket chain in sight. On my first morning, the street was transformed by a pop-up food market. The stalls were full of fresh vegetables and fruit, a reminder of the close ties between metropolitan France and its huge agricultural interior. That's not to suggest that Parisians have ditched their less healthy habits. On day two of my stay, a storm had blown in. Huddled in shop entrances, hiding from the wind, commuters drank their coffee and smoked their cigarettes in a spirit of anguished desperation. I've seen happier crackheads. Although there were less of it, Parisian chic was still in evidence. Instead of trainers, elasticated waistbands and tracksuits, I spotted high heels, expensive blow dries, and some casual snogging. There was style, there was haughtiness, and on certain street corners, there was a very strong smell of urine. Perhaps inevitably, on the metro of an evening, faces looked pinched and anxious. Signs of tension were clearly visible. Yet the French seem more immune to some of the cultural and psychological malaise affecting UK. When I asked for directions from the ticket office, my French quickly deteriorated into English, and the man turned into Inspector Clouseau. But he went on to enormous detail and said proudly, "You will be fine, madame. This is my line." Even the police seemed upbeat. I saw at least two groups going on duty, laughing and joking together in pack formation, wearing navy jumpsuits and trendy black boots. They seemed unencumbered by wires, cameras and large hats. Instead, they had all the agility of middle-aged boy band. On my final day, we ended with a reception in a palace that was the French Foreign Ministry. The most enormous chandeliers hung among the wall-to-ceiling paintings. The canapés were works of art, too. They made the UK equivalent feel like KFC. And when the Foreign Minister finally arrived, he was escorted through the delegates in the manner worthy of Louis XIV himself. He had made us peasants wait for over an hour, but the reason was a good one. After the conference, 31 countries had signed up to a feminist foreign policy declaration. It will put women's and girls' rights and combating gender-based violence high on the agenda. My take home? Let's drink more coffee and have bigger hair, and generally do less of being less.
And now, Belgarum.
This week it truly is an alternative, following that last one, this truly is an alternative look at the news. Shanice's celeb message. A nursery manager received a personal message from Alan Titchmarsh this week. Staff working at the First Friends Nursery were left feeling emotional after the message was given to the quality and curriculum manager, Shanice Giller. The surprise message was set up by one of the educators at the nursery, Sally, who reached out to Mr. Titchmarsh. Mr. Titchmarsh was told about the positive impact that Shanice has had on the First Friends Earth Explorers initiative. Alan's heartfelt message thanked Shanice for her commitment to caring for our planet and the incredible work she's done in creating and embedding our Earth Explorers program. Shanice has been a fan of Mr. Titchmarsh since childhood, and his love of nature and passion for protecting our planet have inspired her throughout her career. The message was dedicated to the work Shanice has done in developing the Earth Explorers program for the nursery. And this nature-inspired initiative encourages children to connect deeply with the world around them, learning about sustainability, wildlife, and the beauty of the outdoors. And that part of it is accompanied by a photograph of Shanice from the First Friends Nursery. And the second article is called, or entitled, Scientist to Speak at Memorial Talk. A leading scientist will speak at the annual Cameron Bespolka Wildlife Memorial Talk. Dr. Campbell Mearn, from the Hawk Conservationary Trust will be the guest speaker at this year's event hosted by Winchester College. The talk is held in memory of Cameron Bespolka, a former pupil of the college who died in 2013. Dr. Mearn will discuss his work in the research and conservation of birds of prey, including species of owls, kestrels, kites, buzzards, and vultures. The talk, entitled Tails, Talons, and Tusks, will take place on Wednesday, November the 26th at 7 p.m., in New Hall, Winchester College, in College Street. And tickets are free, but booking is advised. And that's accompanied by a photograph of a young boy there, holding on the end of his arm an enormous bird, which I assume is a buzzard, but I don't know.
Now, this week's announcements, and we start with What's On. This year's Theatre Royal pantomime is Puss in Boots, and it will be running at the theatre from Saturday the 29th of November to Sunday the 4th of January. Tickets are now on sale. Also at the Theatre Royal is Killer Couples, a true crime show on Thursday the 13th of November at 7:30 p.m. Then Venus 2.0, a dance show on Tuesday, November the 11th. And then the screening of Mrs. Warren's Profession on Monday the 10th of November. And finally, a comedy night on behalf of Naomi House and Jack's Place Hospice on Sunday the 2nd of November. Other events include the Winchester Cathedral's Christmas Market, which will open on Friday the 21st of November until Monday the 22nd of December. Hampshire's Southern Voices Choir will be performing at the Chapel of St Cross, Winchester on Saturday the 13th of December at 7:30 p.m. and the Alsford Community Choir will hold a Songs in Remembrance concert on Saturday the 8th of November at 7:30 at St John's Church in Alsford. Lighting up time ends on 31st of October at 6:55 a.m. and begins at 4:42 p.m. On Wednesday the 5th of November it ends at 7:04 a.m. and begins at 4:33 p.m. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our free recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Now we continue with further items of general news.
And this one headed parcels dumped by delivery driver. Evri says that it has taken action after parcels were dumped by a delivery driver in Winchester. A total of 7 parcels were discovered in Tower Street, Winchester, late on Friday, October the 17th. The parcels were discovered by Tower Street resident Jason Parker. He said, "They were just down from our house. They were in the street. Because we live in the city, we cannot really leave parcels, and we usually take them in and let our neighbours know when we have them. When we got them inside, we found that they were all different addresses. They were not for Tower Street. Some delivery driver had just dumped them. The parcels were addressed to properties in Jewellery Street, Falcon View, The Close, Stable Gardens, among others. When the parcels' tracking numbers were entered on the Evri website, the parcels were listed as having been correctly delivered. Mr. Parker said, "We were going to contact everyone and ask them to come and get them. We want people to know so Evri can buck up their ideas." And Evri spokesperson said that the delivery driver in question has been fired. They said, "Delivering great service is at the heart of what we do, and we're sorry that this has fallen below the standards we expect on this occasion. We have investigated this with our delivery partner in the area and can confirm the courier in question will no longer be delivering on behalf of Evri. We apologise to those customers affected, and we would encourage anyone still needing support to contact us via evri.com/contact-us. This is not the first time that Evri has come under fire in Winchester. As previously reported, residents of Barton Stacey, Sutton Scotney, Oslebury and Twyford have seen their Evri parcels disappear after being marked as delivered. This was first recorded by Hampshire Police in late August, with an investigation being launched into the missing packages. An Evri spokesman said that at the time, "Our ambition is that Evri customer's experience is a positive one, and we apologise to anyone affected by this. We have a zero-tolerance policy towards fraudulent behaviour, and anyone found acting in this way will be removed. Our people work incredibly hard to deliver almost 900 million parcels each year, and the overwhelming majority of our 28,000 couriers are highly regarded by customers, with an average star rating of 4.6 out of 5 this year."
Turkey Farm teams up with Garden Centre chain. A turkey farm has joined forces with the Garden Centre chain to offer customers a local spot for their Christmas turkey collection. Copus turkeys will be available to collect from Hillier's nurseries and garden centres across the south of England. Customers will be able to order their turkey online and collect it from their closest Hillier centre on December the 22nd. The collection points will be available for more than 22 locations across the south to help with the Christmas Day preparations. The family-run turkey farm rears turkeys to 26 weeks old compared to 12 weeks like most birds. each turkey is said to grow slowly and naturally, developing a delicious layer of fat under the skin that locks the moisture and succulents. A coppers turkey ranges in size from 4 kilograms to 10 kilograms, serving 8 to 22 people, and is accompanied with all the extras to make sure the process from farm to fork is stress-free.
Closure with a heavy heart. A Hampshire butcher has closed its doors after 6 years of business. Hoggett and Boar in London Road, Kingsworthy, announced the closure with a heavy heart on Wednesday, October the 22nd. A post on the company's Facebook page said, "Some of you might be aware by now, but it is with a heavy heart that I must announce the closure of Hoggett and Boar with immediate effect as of October the 22nd. Whilst this may come as a shock, it's after much consideration and extensive efforts to explore alternative options that regrettably the decision has been made that we are unable to continue forward, driven by several financial and external factors. Myself and the team will miss all you amazing customers. We've all grown up in and around Winchester, and we have been made welcome by you and truly can call it home. We hope to see you all over time." And as previously reported, Hoggett and Boar was owned by Sean Thurgood, a former chef who set up the business in 2019. The butchers had previously been located in Broughton before moving to Kingsworthy in 2024, and the unit, located next door to Kingsworthy Garage, had previously been occupied by the Little Kitchen Company. Hoggett and Boar have been contacted for comment.
Poachers and catapults are rural crime issues. Organised crime, salmon poaching and catapults used as weapons were highlighted as major concerns in a recent rural forum. The Rural Engagement Forum, organised by the Police and Crime Commissioners, PCC, Donna Jones, gathered police leaders, farmers and landowners. The forum attendees discussed the local bobby scheme, which was introduced by the PCC in January 2024 and is being expanded with 15 more officers, with 80% of these officers being placed in rural areas. The PCC pledged to push for stricter legislation and a review of sentencing guidelines regarding criminal activity involving catapults. The risk from poaching to Hampshire's salmon stock was also brought to attention as a serious concern. PCC Jones said, "Businesses across our rural communities continue to suffer at the hands of criminals and organised crime gangs. Farmers and landowners are having plant machinery stolen. They are suffering thousands upon thousands of pounds worth of damage from criminal damage fields being churned up through hair coursing. What we are hearing from experts who work and live in the rural communities every single day is the help they need from the police and the threats that these rural areas face. The police can take that information and formulate an appropriate response. As Police and Crime Commissioner, I am funding that, and that's why these rural engagement forums are so important." The forum also revealed 197 reports of fish poaching across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight in the 12 months to the end of September, marking an 85.8% increase on the previous year. In the past 3 months, there have been 64 incidents, raising concerns about the potential long-term damage to fish stocks. Waste crime was also a significant concern on the agenda. There will be further lobbying from regional police and crime commissioners, including Ms. Jones, via the South East Regional Organised Waste Crime Board, to tackle the fly-tipping and waste crime problem. Chief Constable Alexis Boone said, "Hearing from the group today, it is clear we need to continue to build strong partnerships with rural communities so that we can work together to combat crime." Countess Mountbatten of Burma hosted the event, which was attended by senior police officers as well as representatives of the Countryside Business Landowners Association, the National Farmers Union, Assistant Chief Constable Tara McGovern, force-led for local policing, gave more information about the regional collaboration in rural work with forces in Thames Valley, Wiltshire, Dorset, Sussex and Surrey. And there's a picture of many of the people who attended, including Tara McGovern, Chief Constable Alexis Boone, Countess Mountbatten of Burma, and PCC Donna Jones.
And yet another closure. Popular High Street Bakery closes doors. A city centre bakery has closed its doors for good. Wenzel's, located in Winchester High Street, has permanently closed. The doors of the building are locked and the site is now for let. At the time of writing, the unit is still fully furnished with the counter, fridge and tables and chairs still visible through the window. A spokesperson for the bakery chain has confirmed that the branch has been permanently closed. The Wenzel's spokesman said, "We can confirm that our Winchester branch has been closed permanently. The store closures are always difficult decisions and follow a review of this specific site's performance and future potential. We continue to operate over 100 stores across the south of England, with the nearest stores to Winchester in Southampton and Basingstoke, along with online deliveries to ensure our customers can continue to enjoy our delicious baked goods and treats. We'd like to thank our customers and team for their continued support." Wenzel's opened in Winchester in August 2023, filling a former banking unit that had been empty for 2 years. This is the latest closure in Winchester city centre this year, following the shuttering of Suave Owl and Blueberry earlier this year.
Residents hit out at motorway roadwork plan. Hampshire drivers have had mixed reactions to controversial plans to close the M27 for 11 days over Christmas, as a new underpass will be constructed at Junction 10. Starting at 8 p.m. on December 24th and finishing at 4 a.m. on January the 4th, the M27 will be shut in both directions between Junction 9 at Whiteley and Junction 11 at Fareham. Engineers will slide an 8,500-ton pre-built concrete structure into place beneath the motorway, with the road being rebuilt over the new underpass once installed. But reactions to the closure have been mixed, with one Facebook commenter questioning why it's being closed at what they have called the busiest time of the year. The commentator said, "Some of us travel around Christmas to see loved ones, or drop kids off to the other parent." Another on social media said, "Will you have active traffic management to ensure that everything keeps moving? With so many traffic lights on the diversion route, it means that you need to ensure that the local journeys can continue and it doesn't just gridlock the whole area. Will there be additional monitoring in place? Or will it just be left to your own devices? Good luck over the Christmas period if you want to get anywhere." Others argue that there is no good time to close the motorway, with Martin Braun saying that the Christmas closure was a great project, cutting months of delays and closures compared to other methods. Councillor Nick Adams, King, leader of Hampshire County Council, said, "I know this will cause significant inconvenience, and we thank local communities and road users for their patience while this vital work is carried out. And our diversion route will send traffic onto the A27. And this is accompanied by a photograph showing, I guess, the pre-built structure. And it's got Tim Lawton, who's the HCC Assistant Director for Highways, Engineering and Transport, and Councillor Lulu Bowman and Andrew Jackson of National Highways. And the whole concept of sliding an 8,500-ton piece of structure is absolutely phenomenal. Anyway, good luck to them.
Top Notch Village Pub in Good Food Guide. The landlord of a Hampshire country pub has said he is extraordinarily happy after the pub was named one of the best pubs of the year. The Titchman Arms in Riverside Farm Lane, Titchman, near Alsford, was listed as number 37 on the Good Food Guide's 100 Best Pubs of 2025. It is the only pub from the Hampshire on the list. Hampshire. Joel, I can't pronounce this, sorry, C-Z-O-P-O-R, Suzopor, who has run the pub with his wife Susie since 2022, said, "Being frank, we're obviously extraordinarily happy and extremely proud of the team and the effort that has gone into what we do. To be recognised for the food after being recognised earlier this year in the RHS magazine for best pub gardens in the country in August, and to be on the list, someone so well respected as the Good Food Guide, we're thrilled. And to be number 37 is even more thrilling, because I imagine there are some fantastic places on that list, and to be in the same conversation, we're super proud. We're a small independent, so we couldn't be happier." Joel said he wanted to thank the pub staff, as well as everyone who has supported it since it reopened. He said, "From my point of view, I think the kitchen team here and our head chef, who joined us in February, Tom Parker, he's led the kitchen team to get the recognition to put us on the map for that. We were good before, but we're much better with him in that space. Thank you to everyone who supports us. My wife and I took the pub over 4 years ago, renovated it, and put our blood, sweat and tears into it. We had our second child 10 days after we opened, so we have a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old and a very busy pub. We've just tried to do something we're proud of and other people enjoy." Joel continued, "In a world of bleak news for hospitality, I think people are commending the effort. I think people say, I see you guys trying really bloody hard to give us a great experience, and therefore we'll reward you by supporting you. But also, when you stick your head above the parapet for support in things like this, people click and spend that 2 minutes of their day voting for us, which is lovely and heartwarming thing." And there's a wonderful photograph of all the staff who look very happy. And I have to say, I do recommend it myself. And one of Susie and Joel Cooper, obviously smiling their faces off.
Fantastical Forest Stories. Families gathered for a magical day of woodland adventure and storytelling. The event took place at Blackwood Forest on Saturday, October the 4th, and marked the launch of Forest Holidays Winter Little Wild Ones sessions, inspired by Nick Butterworth's Percy the Parkkeeper books. The interactive sessions, designed for children aged 2 to 5, will run from October 2025 to January 2026 across all 13 Forest Holiday locations and are led by experienced forest rangers. Alison Seymour, forest ranger at Forest Holidays, said, "It's always wonderful to see children experiencing the forest with fresh eyes. The Little Wild Ones sessions, bringing the secrets of the forest to life, from spotting animals, collecting treasures from the woodland floor, and encouraging even the tiniest explorers to set their imaginations free in the great outdoors. Watching families come together to explore, play, and share story time around the campfire is such a special part of what we do here. The adventure awaits in the forest, and we can't wait to welcome even more families to enjoy our Little Wild Ones sessions with Percy the Parkkeeper this winter." The launch event included a guided forest session led by Miss Seymour, where children searched for 8 woodland animals from the Percy stories, including fox, rabbit, badger and owl. Each animal introduced a nature-inspired activity, such as gathering pine cones for squirrel or building a hibernation nest for hedgehog. Children also took part in hands-on craft like finger mouse art and constructing a woodland fairy houses. The highlight of the day was a storytelling session with Nick Butterworth, who read his latest book, Once Upon a Journey, to an audience of children and parents. Mr. Butterworth also hosted a book signing at the Forest Retreat, where families could purchase Once Upon a Journey and his classic title One Snowy Night. The winter sessions, priced at £8 per child with one free accompanying adult, invite families staying at Forest Holidays site to enjoy animal trails, nature challenges and themed crafts. the Little Wild Ones bundle, including Wilder, the Assistant Ranger Bear, is available for £20, and books can also be purchased at the Forest Retreat. And there are three pictures. There's one of Mr. Butterworth entertaining the children with his storytelling, and another one of him signing a book for a child. And there's a lovely one of a boy and two little girls sitting there smiling their heads off, obviously enjoying the outside storytelling.
Celebrity Adventurers, Great Honour. A celebrity adventurer and former soldier has received an honorary fellowship from the University of Winchester. Jordan Wiley, MBE, received the fellowship on Thursday, October the 23rd, as Winchester students celebrated their graduation. Mr. Wiley, who lives in Whitchurch, said, "It is a great honour. I first came to Winchester at 17 as a young boy from Blackpool, lost and looking for direction, where I joined the army as a frontline soldier. Ever since, the city and the surrounding towns and villages of Hampshire have been my home. And I hope this recognition shows that with hard work and a commitment to education, life can take you to some truly wonderful places." In a post on Facebook, the former soldier, who is now an adventurer, Sunday Times best-selling author, and star of Channel 4's Hunted and Celebrity Hunted, called the experience one of the proudest days of my life. He said, "Never give up." The young boy who arrived in Winchester at 17 years old to join the army as a frontline soldier from Blackpool with no qualifications had a big moment today. "It is one of the proudest days of my life to stand alongside my family and receive a fellowship, honoris causa, for outstanding contributions to primary and secondary education through adventure and the great outdoors. As a boy, I left school with nothing. No formal qualifications. As an adult, I have been determined to turn that story around. Today, I can look back and say I've completed 9 GCSEs, 2 A-levels, a foundation degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and now a fellowship. I also have to thank the British Army, as they have funded most of that educational adventure. Proof that it doesn't matter where you start, but where you choose to go. Be the difference that makes a difference." And it's accompanied by a photograph of Jordan Wiley with his parents in Winchester Cathedral, having just received his honorary fellowship.
TV comedy duo share their love for county. Mortimer and Whitehouse, Gone Fishing, returned for its 8th series on BBC Two on Sunday, October the 26th. With the duo visiting Hampshire in the opening episode. The programme follows comedians Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse fishing at various locations around the UK. While fishing and exploring the British countryside, the pair reflect on their lives and their careers. The 8th series will have a focus on people, places and rivers with which they have personal connections. Whitehouse has picked the River Itchen in Hampshire to fly fish for the wild brown trout. The episode synopsis reads, "Paul takes Bob to one of his favourite rivers to fly fish, the beautiful chalk stream of the River Itchen in Hampshire. As it's Paul's birthday week, he gets to call all the shots, but the only present he really wants is to catch a wild brown trout in this idyllic location. Later, Paul catches up with an old friend, actor and fellow angler James Murray, who is campaigning to save the precious salmon which are fast declining in our chalk streams, both on the Itchen and the neighbouring River Test." Whitehouse said, "There's a part where the light is dancing on the trees when we fish in the Itchen, and not many people see that because you're not down that low in the water and looking up at the tree, so you probably would never see the light playing off the underside of those branches. So not many people see it, and I think that's why they enjoy it." Whitehouse also has a strong connection with the River Test in the county, having revealed it as his favourite place in Hampshire in an interview with Country Living. "This was the first place he took Mortimer fishing and where he scattered his dad's ashes." He shared, Fishing gives you a different perspective. If you're out walking, you pass through the countryside. When you're fishing, you're part of it. You're immersed in all the environment around you, with all your senses picking up signals. The show began back in 2018, following Mortimer's triple heart bypass surgery. Whitehouse, having had heart problems of his own, invited him out fishing, after having conversations with Mortimer's wife, Lisa. Having enjoyed the activity together, Whitehouse had the idea for what ended up being the current TV show.
Good Care Home marks second birthday. A care home has marked its second birthday, and a glowing Care Quality Commission CQC inspection. Brendan Care St Giles View in Winchester celebrated both the anniversary and a good CQC rating on Monday, October the 20th. The party was attended by residents, relatives and friends, team members, trustees and volunteers, with special guests including Winchester's Deputy Mayor and Mayoress, Councillor Jamie Scott and Wendy Scott. Michael Crutchley, Chief Executive of Brendan Care, said, "Receiving a good rating from the CQC as St Charles View marks its second birthday is a remarkable milestone. It reflects the unwavering dedication of the entire team, who have worked tirelessly to make St Giles View a truly joyful and welcoming home. We couldn't be prouder of what they have achieved. St Giles View is Brendan Care's first care home in the city to offer dementia care alongside nursing, respite and end-of-life care." And there is a picture of the Lord and Lady Deputy Mayoresses, and a member of staff, and also Michael Crutchley, the Chief Executive, all holding glasses of champagne.
Leisure Centre takes steps to be more accessible. A leisure centre is taking steps to become more accessible for everyone. Winchester Sport and Leisure Park is piloting new communication boards using widget symbols to support people with learning disabilities, communication challenges, and other accessibility needs. The boards are designed to help people with learning disabilities, autistic or neurodivergent individuals, dual language speakers, people living with dementia, and their families and carers. One customer who has already benefited from the communication boards, which launched last month, is Dave Lisney, who's the LD advisor at Active LD. And Dave said, "I like the boards because they are helpful. People can show what they want and be understood." Dave, who has communication difficulties himself, said the boards have been a huge reassurance. The Leisure Centre said it is committed to making its facilities more inclusive and already offers a range of accessible activities, including disability-friendly football, SEN swimming and circuit sessions. The site is equipped with changing places toilets and runs hydrotherapy sessions as well as swimming lessons for children with special educational needs. Alison Lewis, the area contract manager at Everyone Active, said, "We are delighted to introduce these new communication boards at Winchester Sport and Leisure Park as part of our commitment to increasing participation in inclusive activities and ensuring our centre is accessible to everyone. Working with our partners, we know that these communication boards will make a real difference in our local community, and it's fantastic to already be receiving such positive feedback from our customers. The centre also works with disability-led organisations such as Ortec, which has developed fly-through and animated videos to help visitors familiarise themselves with the site before arriving. And the article is accompanied by a photograph showing one of the new communication boards using the widget symbols.
Railway Day Out connects older people. A day out on a heritage railway has brought joy and connection to a group of older residents. Age Concern Hampshire organised the recent excursion on the Watercress line, giving attendees the chance to socialise, enjoy a change of scenery and connect with the local community. The outing is one of many activities run by the charity to combat loneliness and support the well-being of older people in Basingstoke and the New Forest. Sarah Jacobs, marketing manager at Age Concern Hampshire, said, "Our social groups make a real difference to older people's lives. Participants benefit from staying active, meeting new people, and feeling part of their local community, while our volunteers gain an equally rewarding experience contributing to these meaningful connections. The charity's services are particularly important in areas like Basingstoke, where around 18% of households are single person, and in the New Forest, where nearly 30% of residents are aged 65 or over." And there's a lovely photograph of lovely old-fashioned squashy railway seats, unlike the ones we have now, and a sort of pretend wooden table right under the big window, just like the old days. And the four people sitting round are looking very happy, all with a little drink of juice or squash in front of them.
Hundreds of shoeboxes packed for Rotary Appeal. More than 700 shoeboxes filled with toys, gifts and helpful items are being packed and prepared for dispatch to countries in need. The Rotary Club Shoebox Appeal has seen widespread support from businesses, schools, groups, charities and individuals across the Winchester district, all donating money and items. These donations are now being sorted, checked and packed by volunteers in Rotarian Colin Cook's garage in Winchester. Mr. Cook said, "We have more than 720 shoeboxes this year, a third of which has come from individual donors. Sarah and Rome Hospital has been a great support, and we have seen 8 primary schools and 2 playgroups donate too. Each shoebox contains a list of items such as toys, hats, gloves and toiletries. However, there are strict guidelines for what can be included. Liquids and batteries are not allowed due to customs and transport issues. Items that do not meet these requirements are set aside and sent to the Winchester Basics Bank. Last year, Chesil Youth Theatre made a video to explain the rules, which can be seen on the Rotary Club website. Kingsworthy Primary School has once again contributed the most boxes, providing 136 of this year's total of 720. These were collected from 8 primary schools, 2 playgroups and numerous individual donors, as well as the local organisations, churches and Sarum Road Hospital. Deliveries from around 50 Rotary clubs in the area will take the total number of boxes to more than 20,000, which will be delivered to children in Moldova, Montenegro, Romania and Ukraine via Rotary clubs in Poland. The boxes have a significant impact on the children who receive them. Mr. Cook said, "These boxes are in the hands of Rotarians, so they are distributed to the right people in the right places, and they can mean the world to those who receive them. The initiative is part of the Rotary Club's effort to provide support and bring joy to children who are less fortunate, ensuring that they have something to look forward to." And there's a picture of Mark Butcher, the president, Peter Dingley and Colin Cook, Rotarians, preparing the boxes in his garage. And there's also another picture of Lucy Foster Herridge, Martin Page and Emma Cook, Joy Cunningham, standing outside Sarum Road Hospital under blue umbrellas, so obviously it was pouring with rain, with the boxes stacked on a trolley in front of them.
6,000 Home Village gets the okay despite tree concerns. The next step in a plan to create a new 6,000 home garden village between Fareham and Wickham has been approved, despite objections over the removal of trees. Councillors greenlit a planning application from developer Buckland, covering a new access road, removing vegetation and the planting of 11,000 trees and shrubs at Wellbourne. Fareham's Borough Council Planning Committee considered the application after 34 letters of objection and those from the Knoll Residents Association and the Wickham and Knoll Parish Councils. many were concerned about the planned levelling of what remains of 30 acres of woodland and hedgerow along the Knoll Road. But planners told the meeting that some 11,000 trees and shrubs will be planted in three other areas, equivalent to the woodland and vegetation being lost. Councillor Ian Bastable, who's Conservative Park Gate, said he was happy with the application due to the mitigation work. He said councillors were approving the removal of woodland at the meeting, and this was not done previously in 2020 when the outline application was approved. He said the fact that housing will be built here and the trees will go, based on what I was told in 2020, and as I understand it, is what we are permitting today.
Marwell reveals new findings about elusive big cat. Marwell Wildlife has revealed critical new insights into the movements of one of the world's most elusive big cats. The research published by the Conservation Charity, is focused on the snow leopard and could help shape international efforts to protect the threatened species across Central Asia. Working with partners in China and Kazakhstan, Marwell studies explore how snow leopards navigate the vast, rugged mountain landscapes they call home. Professor Philip Riordan, Director of Conservation at Marwell, said, "This ongoing research highlights the need to better understand the ways in which snow leopards use their habitats so that conservation management can be targeted to critical areas. As a wide-ranging species, it is vital to understand how their movements are affected by the mountainous landscapes in which they live. Maintaining population connectivity across their range remains key to protecting this species. As we celebrate International Snow Leopard Day, this combined work provides a timely reminder of the vast scales over which the snow leopard exists and the urgent need to collaborate and secure conservation across international borders." Professor Riordan is leading expert on snow leopards and a professor at the University of Southampton, co-authored two recent research papers focusing on population connectivity and habitat use.
Cost rises, forces history attraction out of centre. A heritage attraction that brings the past to life through technology and storytelling is preparing to relocate. 878 AD, located in the Brooks, Winchester, will relocate at the end of this year. The immersive experience, launched in 2022, was designed to explore new ways of engaging the public with the city's history. Operated by Hampshire Cultural Trust, HCT, it tells the story of King Alfred's victory over the Vikings, using augmented reality, live performances and historical artefacts. Paul Sapwell, Chief Executive of HCT, said, "We are proud of everything 878 AD has achieved. Developed as a radical experiment, to reach non-traditional museum audiences in Winchester, it has attracted younger and more diverse visitors and re-engaged people who hadn't set foot in a museum for years. It has broadened expectations what a museum visit can involve and raised the bar for heritage experiences in the 21st century. However, maintaining a separate venue at the Brooks has become unsustainable due to rising operational costs, inflation and increased rent." Paul said, "With a three-year review point now reached, it is the right time to reconfigure 878 AD into our wider historic Winchester portfolio. Elements of the experience will continue elsewhere in the city. HCT plans to bring the interactive performance-led storytelling model to other heritage sites in Winchester. Actors will deliver immersive role-play and narratives at the Great Hall and the Westgate Museum, while schools programmes developed 878 AD will be adapted for use in the Great Hall. The Trust is also commissioning an immersive redesign of the medieval gallery in Winchester City Museum, drawing on the creative techniques tested in 878 AD. This follows increasing visitor numbers at the museum since HCT introduced a joint ticket with the Great Hall in 2024. HCT said it does not anticipate any redundancies as a result of the closure. And Paul said, I'd like to thank all the partners who supported this stage of the project. 878 AD will continue to host school trips until the end of the year.
999 Services join forces. Hampshire's ambulance service is joining forces with a neighbouring service. The South Central Ambulance Service and the South East Coast Ambulance Service will form the new South Central and South East Ambulance Service. The new partnership aims to deliver more reliable and high-quality emergency care through greater collaboration and shared expertise. Both trusts will continue to operate independently, but will collaborate on key priorities such as digital innovation, clinical best practice, and workforce development. They will also share leadership, with a single chief executive and chair overseeing both trusts to support strategic alignment. David Eltringham, who's the chief executive of South Central Ambulance Service, said, "This is about levelling up care for every patient in the Southeast. Demand for our services is rising, and this model gives us the ability to respond more consistently, use our resources more effectively, and make sure patients receive the same high standard of care wherever they live. Patients are expected to benefit from more consistent clinical pathways, reduced variation in care, and improved outcomes. The group will also focus on care navigation to reduce unnecessary visits to emergency departments and helping patients access the right treatment quickly and safely. The change will take place in phases from late 2025 through to 2027.
Get quizzical at fundraiser for charity. Tickets have gone on sale for a popular annual quiz event held as a key fundraiser for a family support charity. Homestart Winchester and Districts will hold the event on Friday, November the 14th at Itchen Abbas Village Hall. The event is a major fundraiser for the charity, which supports families with young children in the area. The quiz night will see quiz inquisitor Mike Davis return to host the event, assisted by his wife Pauline. Trustee and event organiser Chrissy Barlow said, "This is always a sell-out event. We are so grateful to Mike and Pauline for doing the honours and look forward to getting our teams together again for some friendly rivalry. The night will also feature a raffle, a bar and a Plowman supper. Tickets are priced at £17.50 and can be purchased online at is.gd/HSW quiz night, or by emailing info@home-startwinchester.org.uk. The quiz night will start at 7:30 p.m. but pre-booking is essential, and I should say you need to book for that Tichborne Arms as well.
Man cycles from London to Paris in memory of Dad. A Hampshire man has cycled alone from London to Paris in memory of his dad. Dean Ridgway planned the entire trip himself, from the route plan to the daily rest stops. The 45-year-old head of operations at Sue Ryder Duchess of Kent Hospice in Reading and Sue Ryder Palliative Care Hub in South Oxfordshire took on the solo cycling challenge to honour his dad. He was raising money for the charity that holds personal meaning for him. Dean from Fleet said, "I started at Sue Ryder at a pivotal point in my life. 6 months in, my dad was diagnosed with cancer for the second time. His death was painful for us as a family, but the pain he was in meant that for him, the time was right. Dad lived in South Africa, and I went there to be with him. For the first time, I had something to compare his care to, and knowing the expert, compassionate support we provide at Sue Ryder, I knew the death he had experienced could have been better. It made me realise how important the work we do here is. While not everyone will need specialist support at the end of life, it's incredibly reassuring to know that, should the time come, gold standard care is available. It means people can experience the kind of compassionate, dignified support that everyone deserves. Dean enjoyed his cycle challenge so much that he's already started to think about what he could do next year. And there's a picture of him with his bike, and you've got two bags on either side of the front wheel and a bag on the back. And then there's a picture here of him standing under the Eiffel Tower.
Health Play Specialist is a great mentor. A senior health specialist from Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust has been named runner-up Mentor of the Year. Senior Health Play Specialist Joe Lafford received the commendation in the Starlight Health Play Awards 2025. Starlight, the UK's leading charity for children's play in healthcare, holds the awards to celebrate Play in Healthcare Week, which is October the 13th to October the 19th, and to shine a spotlight on how play can help reduce fear, pain, and trauma during a child's treatment and recovery from illness, and celebrate those who are excelling in this field. Joe, who has guided several students through their development, said, "It's been really rewarding watching them grow and then seeing them strengthen our team. With recruitment challenges facing hospitals nationwide, nurturing future health play specialists has never been more important," she said. "We've advertised posts several times, and sometimes we just don't get any qualified applicants. It's a struggle not only here, but across the country. I think it's a really important profession, and I'm worried for the future because of the recruitment difficulties. It's a profession that needs to grow because it's so important for the children." Joe first encountered health play whilst doing a nursing course after she left school, when she spent 2 weeks shadowing hospital play professionals. After some time working as a nanny, she applied to join the field herself. She's held her role for more than 30 years, and 14 of those covering the trust sites at Basingstoke and North Hampshire Hospital and the Royal Hampshire County Hospital. There are currently 5 health play specialists and 3 assistants in her team covering both sites. And that's accompanied by a photograph of Joe Lafford, who's been, as we say, working for 30 years in this area, and with her colleagues Sinead Bailey and Lucy Gover.
And that concludes the extracts for this week. When you have finished with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. And a thank you to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, and to the copying and memory stick preparation teams. And thanks to our readers, Nikki Baring.
Goodbye.
Norma York.
Goodbye.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Goodbye.
And from me, John French, goodbye and have an enjoyable week.